meant to be here to give this, but apparently she's been to Hawaii so many times that she couldn't face coming back again. And I'm like, what? So I'm doing it. Okay, so I'm going to talk about GenSAS, and this is a tool for community annotation, well, for annotation and community curation of your genome sequence. So why do we need DNA annotation? Well, we know that getting the DNA is just the first step, but it doesn't tell you anything, right? We want to know what the biological relevance of that particular sequence is and how we can use it. We can use the annotations then to infer genes and be able to use that in our research. And it's now become routine for labs to generate genome sequence. I teach a bioinformatics class, and half the class now are plant pathologists who are sequencing the heck out of everything. So half the class is students from plant pathology wanting to know how to do bioinformatics analysis. So that's exciting from the point of view of big data generation, but we have to have the tools to be able to use that information or generate the correct information that we can then start using it. So what scientists really want, what do they want? Well, first of all, there's the current annotation tools, which are great. There's many available. They all tend to run independently, and most of them run on the command line and require server access. Most biologists don't have access to that type of tools or the training in order to do that. And really, you know, if your area of expertise is plant biology, you shouldn't necessarily have to learn bioinformatics. You should be able to have access to the tools you need and the training on how to use them, and most importantly, how to interpret the data. That's really critical to it. So what we think scientists want and what they've told us they want, and this all came about from a student I had who'd found a resistance gene on a peach bark, and he sequenced the bark, and then he had to start doing all the annotation, and it was really time-consuming and tedious for the student because he wasn't really a bioinformatician. So that's where the impetus for this project came from. So we want to give them a single location for DNA annotation. It does not require management of servers and tools. So going back to that kind of triple model of how we do things. And it's easy to use and can be adapted to a variety of DNA sequences. It's modular. As new tools come in, we just add them into there. So that's how GenSAS came about. So GenSAS currently is the single website that combines numerous tools, not all of them, but a lot of them that are useful. It has user accounts that keep data private and secure. No one can access your data, but allows you to share it with your collaborators or with your community if once you've got a sequenced genome and you want to start building in annotation, fixing the errors of annotation, then you can do this through GenSAS. And easy-to-use interfaces with integrated instructions to allow researchers at all skill levels to annotate DNA. And for the last several years, we've used our class as guinea pigs, the bioinformatics class. So they have found so many things that we could not have anticipated would have been an issue. So they've been really wonderful. So here's the GenSAS, the current version of GenSAS, version 5.1. There's a brochure at the back if you want to use it. So the process starts with uploading the sequences. So you create an account, you upload your sequences. You create a project. We don't have you create a project first because we don't need to upload the sequences because you might do different things with those sequences. So create the project associated with the sequences. Upload evidence, and this would include things like RNA-seq data. If you've got RNA-seq data they've generated, you can upload it to this tool and use it in your official gene model predictions. And we do say that it has to be pre-processed because we don't want you to upload all the complete raw unprocessed data. You have to do a wee bit of processing first. And then they would identify repeats, mask the sequences, align the transcripts that you have using various tools, then perform the structural annotation using these various gene models here. After that, you choose the official gene set using Evidence Modeler. Then you want to refine the gene models using PASA and perform some functional annotations. So you actually know what these putative genes are, what their predicted function is, and you can get lists of those. Then you can go ahead and do the manual curation using Apollo and JBrowse. Again, using tools that already exist out there. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. These are great tools. We just need to put them in a package that people can readily use them. And then after you've done that, you can generate the files for publication. And we're going to add in a step where it actually checks the NCBI, the way the NCBI checks your annotation when you upload it. We're going to build that in here so that it's actually done that for you. So then when you go to NCBI to deposit your genome, it should be fine. So here's the home page for GenSAS right now. It's just gensas.org. So here is where you would go, and if you're having any trouble with GDR, you've got a user's guide, login problems, troubleshooting. It's always there on the home page. You can contact us. Here's where you would either create a new account or, you know, request a new password if you've forgotten it. And then once you've done that, here's where you go. You use GenSAS. You go ahead and click there. You can see there the top tabs. We've got available tools, available libraries. We pre-populate this with the standard libraries that people need. So we know we have the fungal RefSeq in there. We have the, it's not just for plants. It's for anything. We have the microbial RefSeq in there. We have SwissProt. I'm not sure if we have Tremble. I can't remember if we put that in or not. It's so big. So there's pre-populated libraries in there that you can use, and you can see what we already have in there, so you don't have to re-upload or try to upload. I think if you just try to re-upload something we have, it'll tell you. Okay, and so this is the main body. Let me see here. So this at the top, you can see this is the annotation, the flow process in the annotation. It's highlighted when you can access it, so if you haven't done the previous step, you can't go on to the next one. Here we have the accordion menu on the right, and we have the job queue. You'll start to see all the jobs in there that have completed. We've got the browser in there, the sharing, where you share it with other people, and then any help, you'll always be able to get to the help menu on there. Here we have the main body. This is where you interact more with the program. In the home page, it just tells you a little bit about the tabs that we have and what each of those will do. So now you've started, so you now have, you're uploading your sequences. You can upload them as a single file or a multi-sequence file. So if you've done your assembly of your genome, go ahead and upload it. We had to add in the checking of the size of the sequences, because we had so many contigs where they were smaller than the possible, than the minimum gene size. So it doesn't make any sense to waste resources in trying to do that. So this is kind of, in a sense, a little bit of an error check, or a check of your genome. And so you then select, say, I'm going to use contigs that are over 10,000 base pairs or whatever. And that saves a lot of time in doing the processing. We're also going to add in at this point, and it's in the final slide, but a BUSCO to check the assembly. How many housekeeping genes do you have? It gives you a good idea of how good your assembly is, or an idea. So here then you go to the project tab, you open existing project or a shared project, or you create a new project. The GF3, this is where, so say you've already done a genome assembly and an annotation, you have a GFF3 file, or you're interested in doing some version of someone else's GFF3 file out there, you can upload it here and it immediately goes into the database. So you're starting with something and you upload any of these sequences that we mentioned earlier. Every single tab has an instruction section that you can expand and close with detailed information on how to do that. We also have a lot of short snippet audiovisual on our YouTube site with links out. You'll find links in here to that. Here we have the repeat masking stage. We have various tools in there for repeat masking. You can check the results in JBrowse and choose which set to use to make mask consensus in there. And this is the job queue that I showed you. So this is one where the jobs saved. What's nice about this, it tells you when the job's completed, but it also tells you when the job's failed. Because you kind of want to know if something's failed, you want to know, you don't want to keep waiting. Has it finished? Has it not finished? No, it's failed. So then there's a reason for that. And there's a log error file associated with that that will tell you why it failed and how to contact us to give you help for why it's failed if you can't fix it. And see the job names. The nice thing about this is, say that you want to run... you want to run programs with same program with different sets of parameters. You don't have to wait for one job to finish. You can run various ones in the queue, so you can change the parameters that you're using, get the best results that you think you need, and then you can delete the old jobs and not include them on this one. Once the project has results, so even a single result in this, if one part, you can then start sharing it with other people. You don't have to wait till all your jobs are finished. You can go in and look at the results of those jobs after they've completed each individual one. So this is just kind of showing you, this is showing you the summary of the jobs. You've got lots of information about your job. You can download the files it's generated and look at the error logs, or just look at the logs in general. As you can see, all that information in there. You can look at the alignments. You can look at the results in GFF3 format. This is showing you the repeat masker results. I should have hit this thing for that. Okay, if you've got the repeat masker results, you now want to look at them in the browser. So you're looking at them in the browser. You want to, in the JBrowse, you want to open Apollo, and it will open Apollo for you, and you can start looking at them in Apollo. Here we have the Align tab, where it's going to align the RNA-seq data for the gene prediction programs, structural tab. And you can see the list of gene prediction programs here. As new gene prediction posts come out, our users tell us we'd rather use this one, we can add it in because of the nature of this program. And here we have the official gene set tab. Here's where you set the gene models for manual annotation, for the manual annotation and final publication, and the refinement tab in here as well. And you can see again a list of the jobs here. And as I say, at each part you have this text giving you advice on what to do, because that's something the students really taught us, is that you need this additional information in there while you're going through the process to see how do you evaluate this. And here's the functional tab here, where you've done your, here's some of the functional interpro scan, PFAM, signal P, target P. And here's the annotation process. So here's where you have all your tracks, you've done, run all your results, and here's when you can come in and use Apollo and you can fix some problems. So we always recommend you take a look at several genes, at least several genes, to look at the information you've been given. Does it make sense? None of these gene prediction programs are infallible. And so, you know, you do want to have a look at the data and make some changes perhaps. And here's the user-created annotation. So this is the final annotation. So here's all the annotations here. Basically drag and drop and accept what you want to accept. Anything you create during the manual annotation stage is automatically updated on the database, and so it's merged, so you have the official gene set for the publication set, and then it allows you to export the data in GFF3 and FASTA formats. So future development, we're going to add an option to create a single merged GFF3 of all the annotation data under the publish step. That's ongoing now. We want to improve how the BLAST jobs are submitted to our cluster to reduce runtime. And we're adding this BASCO tool to assess genome assembly and annotation completeness. And there's lots of other things we would like to do with it, but that's our immediate list right now. The guy that develops BIMS also develops GenSAS, and so it's always a bit of a trade-off what we have him working on. So for now, we've got him finishing GenSAS and then back onto BIMS. And support from USDA, NIFA, NSF, ERS, industry, and of course NRSP10 and land grant universities. And this was GenSAS was initially funded by a grant to Dave Neal at UC Davis, and then we've continued to develop it with NRSP funds. Okay, thank you. Any questions? Did I? Oh, it's very unusual. Go ahead.
The genome annotation database, but like you said, if you just had a large region that you sequence,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, you just take it and upload your sequence. As long as it's bigger than the genes. Yes. Gennaro?
It's a
really good question, General, because we deal with that. So GenSAS right now, you're linked from the databases. You can go to GenSAS, but it's not integrated in the databases yet. That's not what we've done. We're actually talking about doing a GenSAS Lite. Anyway, there's some talk about that. So right now, we have in GDR all these genomes, and that's exactly right. They're all different versions, and we struggle with what to do with that. You know, how we can, as a database, should we even try and create a unified one? And I think it's more, to my mind, that's more of a conversation the community need to have, maybe through the Rose exec. What do we want to do with it? And if they, you know, they tell us, well, we can do that, we would like to do this, then we can probably make that happen. But I think it's more of a, would you agree, Sue, more of a question for the community of how they want us to do it or what they want to do. I mean, Sue maps, genes, names.
Would like to know what connects to what.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I think we have that map.
Mm-hmm.
We have that. We've mapped. Mm-hmm. And that's easy enough to do. And maybe that's something, you know, we're trying to encourage them to do. Gennaro. Okay. Go ahead. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep, we can. We can do anything in there. It's all set up for any of them.
The question was, do you do microbial annotations?
The answer is yes.